Before we open things up, I thought you might enjoy this 4-minute video. Again, it's how do we engage people who might not already be engaged, at least from the Catholic perspective. And this is a 4-minute video on the St. Francis of Assisi Pledge to Protect Creation. And back there you can see the poster that Maureen put up, who is under our carbon footprint. And this is the 4-minute video, and we can get lots of copies if anybody is interested in showing the video to a group, and then do whatever Maureen says after that.
Who's under your carbon footprint? Using too much energy, driving bigger cars, heating bigger houses, using more hot water. It all means more greenhouse gases and a bigger carbon footprint. And that means adding to the problem of climate change. More heat, more droughts, more floods, more storms, more joblessness. So who's getting stepped on? Who is under your carbon footprint?
It is the poor who most directly bear the brunt of environmental degradation.
And the longer we wait to curb our use of fossil fuels, our footprint gets a little heavier and a little deeper.
Coming changes will affect all aspects of the environment, especially for the poor and the vulnerable.
When we demand bigger, better, and more, the world's vulnerable get poorer, hungrier, and less.
Environmental degradation makes the life of the poor especially unbearable.
In Scripture, Matthew reminds us that ultimately, we will be judged by how we treat the least among us.
Just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.
As Catholics, we have a moral obligation to care for the poor and the most vulnerable. But today, too often, we are wasting God's gifts, abusing the planet, changing the climate, and leaving too many with too little for full human development.
There is new and stronger evidence that most of the warming over the last 50 years is attributed to human activities.
Now, prudence demands action.
Inaction and inadequate responses will likely place even greater burdens on poor peoples.
As Catholics, in the face of climate change, we can recommit to what we already do well by reaching out to the most vulnerable here and around the world, by renewing our Catholic commitment to care for God's creation, by living our faith, by treading more lightly and acting more boldly. We can care for creation and the poor, as St. Francis reminds us.
Praise be you, my Lord, through our sister, Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us.
As Catholics, we can live up to our obligation to be in solidarity with the poor by understanding the consequences of every step we take and choosing wisely, by consuming less, by conserving more, by advocating on behalf of those without a voice. Join Catholics already making a difference through our parishes and schools, within our families and dioceses, as individuals and Catholic institutions. Take the St. Francis Pledge to care for creation and the poor, and register your commitment at CatholicClimateCovenant.org. Who's under your carbon footprint? It is those who we are most obligated to protect. For them, your faith is the beginning of hope.
Our earth speaks to us, and we must listen if we want to survive.
Take a step in the right direction.
At its core, global climate change is not simply about economic theory or political reforms, nor about partisan advantage or interest group pressures. Rather, global climate change is about the future of God's creation and the one human family. It is about protecting both the human environment and the natural environment. It is about our human stewardship of God's creation and our responsibility to those who come after us.
That's one resource that you can use. And I also brought a couple of DVDs, Faithful Stewards of God's Creation, a Catholic resource for environmental justice and climate change. It has prayers, it has a liturgical calendar, so it's, you know, prayers of the faithful at Mass. And all sorts of different resources. There's also a small group guide for learning and living environmental justice, Catholics Going Green. And I'm also going to leave with you, the National Catholic Rural Life Conference has a wonderful magazine, both online and here. This particular issue is called Caring for Creation. And for those of you who maybe haven't seen it, in April 2008, U.S. Catholic Magazine had a special issue on the environment with a whole list of what people could do. So I'm going to leave that with you all. This is from me for anyone who wants to. I'll put it in Tom's good hands. And then I thought I would open it up because I just have a feeling that you all have many, many examples that you might want to share, or if you have any questions of me. And I'd actually first like to ask Maureen to say what she's been up to.
Actually, it's what our parish has been up to in our justice group, but we do have a plan for the year. It's our focus, care for creation, care for the poor. A lot of you saw this probably last week. I think they handed it out. And starts in October and goes through Lent of all the activities we're going to be doing. The very first activity you get to participate in, if you want to, it's a personal survey of what you pledge to do as something new. A lot of us are already doing things, taking short showers, whatever. But there is probably something else we can do to contribute to saving the pounds of carbon dioxide that are going into the air. And so what this survey does is say, if you choose this, this is how much you'll save in a year. Just one thing is like plugging in your appliances to a smart strip so that at night you turn it off and it doesn't stay plugged in. If you do that, not your appliances, things like TVs, computers, things like that, you can save 900 pounds of carbon dioxide in a year going into the environment and save yourself $200. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a simple thing like that, that one thing alone. But if you fill this out and leave it here, you can take one of these little blue bags instead of the water bottles. They have insulated lunch bags that the CEC is giving away.
And would you tell people what the CEC is?
Oh, Community Environmental Council. How many of you know the Community Environmental Council? So what they're doing is, in our whole parish, we did this. We had somewhere between 100 to 150 people take their pledge for some things new. They're entering them into the computer and emailing every one of those people who gave them their email that this is what you pledged and this is what difference it's going to make in a year. You know, all the way, the way you're going to impact you personally. So it's very cool. And then adding up all the totals for our parish so that we can give our parish a report. This is what we're doing as a first step in our parish. Then the second thing, in October, we're beginning this coming Wednesday to, and Hillary's going to be facilitating this, we're going to begin a series that Just Faith developed on, it's called Just Matters, and it's God's Creation Cries Out for Justice. And they have at each of the sessions, which are an hour and a half in the evening, they have a short DVD. And then the group has that common experience. It's a small faith-sharing group. And then afterwards, you can talk about how this relates to your faith commitment or what it calls you to do or whatever. And they have a really well-designed program for that. So the topics are Stewards of the Earth is the first one, and Hillary assures us it's very cool. She's already previewed it. So, and the second is God's Creation and Global Warming. The third is science of climate change. The fourth is rising waters. The two of the sessions will be on how it affects the poor. And those of us who have been working in Haiti, you know, who went there last year and visited John Rebel, which we've been supporting in our microcredit program, these huge piles of rocks and ditches and so on that are the result of the hurricane a year ago. September that still aren't cleaned up and that ruined all their small businesses. So we see that effect, you know, very dramatically. Anyway, and then we are hoping that Father Ludo will be our guest speaker on February 3rd. to tell what they've done in this parish, how did they engage the people, and what are the results. So that's coming up, and if you want to sign up, you can just put your name on this and your phone number, and Hillary will give you a call. If you want to take the survey, you can take a little free bag with you, and just leave it here, and we'll send you the email.
Tell them about the Lenten.
We're not sure about the Lenten thing yet. We want to do a water project, and I emailed you, as a matter of fact, and you emailed me.
You're the Maureen! Oh, my gosh, Maureen,
you're
so
the Duchy. She emailed me all these little bulletin announcements for the week, and so we're still trying to research some of the anyway, we want to join you with that.
And what I'm thinking is that the folks I stayed with last night, Larry and Suzanne Farwell. Suzanne used to work for the Santa Barbara Foundation. Larry is Mr. Water Conservation and does a lot of work as a consultant for the Department of Water Resources. He also used to be the, remember when he went to ultra-low flush toilets? Goleta was the first city to do it. That's Larry's work. He's the one who pushed that. So I will give you Larry's email and phone number, because I bet as far as the Lenten fast, it's very Santa Barbara specific.
Yeah.
He's your man.
Great.
Oh, this would be so good. I wish I would have.
Maureen, you should mention that. It's just a once-a-month commitment, so it's not scary.
What's the month?
No, twice a month.
Yeah, there's four sessions before Christmas. There's one October 21st, November 3rd, November 18th, and December 2nd, and then there's four after Christmas. And we finish before by February, probably the 9th. So it's not a big commitment. It's like every other week for an hour and a half in the evening with a small group at the mission in the social room at 7 o'clock.
And you know, I'm just wondering, also with Father Ludo, since he's the pastor, do you think you could eventually ask him, maybe he would be willing to talk to his fellow pastors about how wonderful, you know, we save money, the parish is really happy with all this. Maybe that's one way of getting other parishes involved.
Well, they actually are taking that survey, doing the survey in this parish. They have 300 surveys he ordered to put in the bulletins this week, following the mission. And so, you know, it is spreading.
Jim, and then I couldn't quite see your name back.
It seems to me that, I mean, this was a nice video, but it emphasizes the effect on the poor. All the pictures are pictures of poor people. And human beings, what they are, if my ox isn't being gored, then I'm not going to have as much interest in the issue. And I think that we need to do more to show people how their ox is being gored. And it's not just the poor people who are going to suffer from environmental change. We all have a price to pay. And I think you'll get more people on board by making it more universal. So that there's more self-interest involved. The mission of the poor is a very important mission, and it's ideal for the church. But this issue is more than just about the poor.
That's a really good point, Jim. And I know I've been to some events where people say, climate change, balderdash.
Yeah.
And I said, well, in fact, the last time I was back home in Los Angeles, and this man saying this to me, and I said, well, how's the air quality here? He said, oh, it's awful. And I said, do you know anybody with asthma? Oh, yeah. And I said, well, that's reason enough to do the following things. It not only helps with climate change, even if you don't believe that, but it helps with air quality. It helps you right now. I went to the Respect Life organizing group when they were getting ready for Respect Life Month, and of course it's the Environmental Justice Coordinator, and there were a bunch of folded hands and scowls, and I said, how many of you have one of these? And I held up my asthma inhaler, and a bunch of people raised their hands, and I said, that's environmental justice. That's what we're talking about. And then I went down and said, in the Central Valley, 1,200 people are dying prematurely from air pollution, more than are dying from breast cancer, murders, and traffic accidents combined. And I said the Central Valley is now ahead of the rest of the nation in premature births, in malformations, and on and on and on. And then click. So you're absolutely right. You need to talk about it, where people are and how it affects them. It may be in certain faith groups showing this, the people who are St. Vincent de Paul societies, for instance. Probably that might be a message for them as opposed to some other groups. So I absolutely agree with that. And you have Kathy.
No, I just wanted to add to what Maureen had said. I was the person, because Maureen was gone, to introduce this to the leadership team at the Mission Parish. And many of them are rather on the conservative side. So we had this lovely flyer, and I was all excited about this, you know, when you have a visual like this. And then I mentioned now those two bad words, climate change, and somebody across the table. Well, we've had climate change since the world began. All of a sudden, my knees started to shake, and I was really so I listened again. You know, I listened as other people spoke, and then one really lovely lady at the end said, "Well, maybe we could change climate change to like stewardship of the earth or something like that." I said, "Well, we will certainly explore that." And we went back, and we decided to keep climate change. Eventually, the LA Times, the News Press, all of a sudden we began hearing all of these little statements of climate change, you know, and more was being written and the United Nations, yeah. So it's the matter of kind of pulling the parish along, kicking and screaming in a way, but finding the right way. Maureen didn't mention the global gift there that we're going to have in December. And that is geared for Care for Creation and Care for the World, you know, and all, with all of the products that we're going to have. We're considering a green book. And I was thinking maybe if we could do something like showing this film. But it is just to the parish, which is rather conservative, Claire, now, don't you think, in some ways? Just kind of introducing them gently, but also being there and being there to the council and to the pastor, all of that. That's my long story.
No, that's one. Yeah, if you can get the pastor on board, that's why I was thinking if the pastor here maybe could talk to fellow pastors too about, oh, it has made such a difference in our parish. And I'm also thinking at our last, we have alternative Christmas fair. And we have this little table, and we have the low carbon emitted, the LED Christmas lights, and we talk about carbon fast, and we had a big sign, and it said, "Lose 20 pounds for the holidays. Ask me how." Yes, you got things.
I was just going to say, I think it's a wonderful vehicle also for involving all ages in a parish, because our kids from elementary or preschool on up are so concerned about the environment.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it's always an issue about how do we engage our young people. And it's the perfect way to do that and to get some age dialogue going, and to call on their energy and they're very knowledgeable also in this, and for families, they can, you know, a whole family can get involved in them.
They would I bet the youth groups and the schools, the young people could teach all of us what we should be doing. It'd be a nice flip, wouldn't it? Yeah. Huh?
Martha, were you making that talk or making that point from within the Episcopal tradition?
Well, I think we need to do more, but we have one Sunday a month or one Sunday a year where our youth write the prayers of the faithful. Mm-hmm. And it's always fascinating on that Sunday how we really are, without anybody making this intentional, they bring the environment into the prayers.
Well, the reason I wanted to point that out is that we've heard an awful lot from Betsy this morning about what the Catholic response is in the Catholic Diocese of Stockton and various Catholic churches, but it is bigger than that, isn't it? It does include the Episcopals. Can you say a little bit about what you see as hopeful signs in terms of the interfaith dimension to this effort?
Absolutely, and I think a lot of the other faith traditions are ahead of us. For instance, I mentioned that piece of legislation, the Human Right to Water Act. We work with both a group called Environmental Justice Coalition for Water, and the group that did most of the heavy lifting to try to get letters and phone calls into the governor's office was the Unitarians. They had a wonderful program, an offering of letters like the Bread for the World. It was an offering of letters for the Human Right to Water Act. And it was interesting because their main person on this is definitely at odds with certain things that the California Catholic Conference has been pushing. I'm sure I probably don't have to even fill in the blanks there. But this was an issue where the two institutions could come together to work on something, and they were doing a lot. I personally find that it's through California Interfaith Power and Light that so much is happening. In November, in San Francisco, they're having their energy Oscars. And you can actually go online. Of course, you can come, but if you can't come, you can go online and see all of the nominees in the education category, in the advocacy category, in the changing over your facility category, and it's Jewish, Buddhist, various Christian faiths, and I'm sad to say that probably the group that is represented the least, Catholics. But it's a wonderful way of, also they have, I think, regional meetings. They used to have one in Sacramento, they used to have one in Stockton. We're thinking we need to come together. And the other thing that's interesting is different foundations, the money people, are asking, who are you linking up with? What other faiths are you linking up with?
I just want to make a comment about Tom's. It's easy to point out like the Episcopal Church or the Unitarians, but when you look at their political men, that's a little easier. Let's take on the tough ones like Calvary Chapel or a very traditional small Baptist church or something. I got to think of what I can do, and I happen to know a couple of ministers in town personally, and I'd like to just go to them, just present this, and see what it amounts to. But this is the people we have, and there's a hope that they did, because everybody knows in the last election they penetrated this one issue thing, and one of the things was the environment, and I think was it Rick Warren that got on the environment? So we have to hit, but you know, like Calvary Chapel has 1,000 people show up every Sunday. Some of our parishes have 40 or 50. Let's think of numbers.
And they really are stepping out. The Baptists are, a number of evangelical faiths are. The Evangelical Environmental Network is a great place to look to. National Council of Churches is pushing the federal climate change legislation. I bet that there would be wonderful resources that you could bring to the ministers saying, oh, and in your own faith tradition, here's what's already happening. Mm-hmm. It's always easier if somebody else is out in front.
Just don't use the word environmental.
Care for creation. How about Don first and then Maureen?
I want to mention something that is not within the religious tradition that's happening. It's incredibly exciting. Some of you know that Don, my husband, sort of took care of the CAPS Foundation, not the university one, for about 8 years, until right now Todd Capps has taken over directorship of it. He is Walt Capps' son. The main gift, the Fulton Foundation, and we had one of the first activities last weekend. And it was what their major project is you know, in terms of what Martha was talking about, you get the children, you know, to see wow energy is there. Well, Adams School, and this has all gone through the Santa Barbara School District, Adams School has been chosen as a place in which they're going to build a state of the arts, environmental, green learning center. In which the goal is to process all the kids in our county through an education. This is a big project. I mean, multi-million dollar thing. But already grants are being lined up for this project. Well, last week we had a particular little piece that was high on the wow factor. It's a project called the Geodesic Dome. And it's not surprising to know that the people working with this and NASA, Minister Fuller's people. Well, those of us who went were inside of a dome that could handle about 25 people. And we had the Earth up there and twirling around under all kinds of conditions. At the flip of a switch, he could tell us how warm any body of water is right now in the world, because he's in direct line with NASA. You know, all of the, you know, it was real time. And there were about 8 of these meetings, and I went to the last one. But the first one was at the same time as this was happening on the White House lawn. And Obama was in a similar geodesic dome. And there's just so much that could be said about what this technology did. But one of the things was that we really went out not only to the edges of our galaxy and saw all the Milky Way, but, you know, zoomed past that and were able to appreciate that in at least 2 significant orders of magnitude, the Earth is in a favored place that can support life, and that they're really relatively small places in galaxies or in a planetary system, you know, like us around the sun, that can support life, and that, you know, it's our privilege to be on one of these, the third rock from our star. So I just wanted, the thing would be to say, keep your eyes and ears open for the Holden Foundation and, you know, what they hope to do. They're working also with Earl Warren, you know, in deciding to work at Adams School. Earl Warren wanted to, Showground, wanted to get in on it. And at first offered only, parking, but now said, hey, we have a dome already. Can't you do something with our dome? So you can project this software, which is all ready to go. It just needs local money to bring it there. Yeah.
I want to follow up on what you're saying because it's very exciting. And one of the things that I think those of us in the Catholic tradition or any formal religious tradition need to know is there are many, many non-religious groups out there that are very, very spiritual and that are interested in bringing peace in this world, are interested in climate, bringing science and spirituality together. They leave us in the dust, in all honesty. I'm beginning to see it's so huge what's going on out there. I mean, we're talking about getting people acclimated to just say, you know, environmental justice, and you know, these people have left all that in the dust. They're out there doing all of these things and technology, using the technology to draw the bigger picture and show us the part of humanity in the larger, you know, evolutionary story. It's very humbling for me because we have a tendency to think that Catholicism has a monopoly on morality and justice issues. And, you know, you get out there and see people aren't as concerned as formal religious traditions with maintaining their formal identity as Catholics and liturgy. They're out there doing the work in the world. They're leaving us in the dust. We need to catch up and, you know, let some of this other stuff go and put our focus in the world. So I'm glad to hear you say that, because there's a lot of wonderful things going on.
And I really think that you're starting with the wow factor, because, I mean, that was present in this, you know, presentation. And because I think, as all of us here are Catholics, but a good number of us are, we had enough moralizing and guilt factor, and, you know, and that's actually a kind of no-starter on energy, whereas beauty and magnificence and the thought that this could, we could lose it, you know, can work at another level, I think, than that of no.
that's a very good point, and I'll call Christine next. And I just say, I absolutely agree with what you said about the non-religious structured groups. And one of the things that has been such a blessing for our environmental justice project is we work closely with the Central Valley Air Quality Coalition. We're now involved with the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water, Restoring the Delta, and other groups, Green California, and
secular groups.
Yeah, all secular groups. And what, it's Sierra Club, Environmental Defense, you name it. And what we're able to do is bring that other perspective that they're looking for. And the nice thing is, we don't have to be the experts, because they are. And when we come along, we care about it for this reason. And so it's so wonderful to be in coalition with the secular group, because you're right, Gallup so far ahead of us, and Redwood said, what do you want us to do here? That's what we just show up, we accompany, as Franklin said.
So you're right, and you know, we bring the, when you see the people that are working in the world, their starting point is with the world and globalization. But religious tradition should be bringing the deep-rooted tradition, the mystical tradition where God and the world always were together. So we bring a deep-rooted tradition that has language that lifts the whole project up to a nobility that it doesn't have. You know, religion to me brings a heart to science. Science is cold without some type of spirituality that's deep. And we have a deep-rooted tradition that has something to add to what they're doing in the world. They go together. So we have to quit doing battles with them and allow them to come together and honor the people that are really working in the world towards the same things that we're working to in our own spirituality, and bring it together and support it, you know, from our own tradition.
Absolutely. Christine, and then Maureen, you want, and then
there's several signs that awareness is being raised around the area. Yesterday I visited a friend in the hospital, and by the elevators and in several places in the hallways and so forth, there were pairs of receptacles. And one is labeled recycles, and the other one is labeled landfill.
Oh!
So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then a couple years ago, the city council passed a thing where all of their meetings now that involve like food or anything, they now have a yellow receptacle, and all the plates and the flatware and so forth are all compostable. So you throw all of that into there, and nothing goes to the landfill. And of course, we're really proud of the Brent building out at the university.
Yes.
Is got a platinum lead certificate, and I guess it was the inspiration for all the campuses are now have to be done to increase environmental awareness. So, Santa Barbara's stepping up a little bit.
Maureen, and then.
To Tom's question, the M4 is the Montecito group, the Montecito Covenant, a more evangelical church, and then what are the other ones? Is the Catholic Church and
Mount Carmel and Montecito Presbyterian and All Saints Episcopal.
Okay, so they have this group of four that meet together and do things. And one of the things they're doing, I think it's next Sunday, is they're having a water awareness walk. And I don't know all the details, except that the money that they raised for these four parishes going together on this walk, and they have the map of the walk all laid out, is going to build a well in a particular place in, I think, Ethiopia. But what is really interesting is the last section of the walk, you can carry the amount that an ordinary person has to carry that distance to their home from their water source in Ethiopia. Wow. Isn't that just awesome? Oh, and, you know, it tells you that we have so much to learn in our community about things that are happening that we can participate in that keep secret. And it would be so wonderful to have a network, a place where we can share all these amazing things.
We have time for one more question with Gail.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to share what motivates me. I find I keep going back to something that I heard a few years ago. I was working on a project with the Sustainability Project in Santa Barbara. There's a website, nice website. But anyway, and also connected here to what Father Hines says about all creation is sacramental. All creation is grace. And connecting to what Alice was saying about there really isn't a division here between nature and divinity. And so what the Native Americans say, I would be like you, I want to save the earth for my grandchildren. And what they say is they want to protect the planet for seven generations from now. So we think seven generations from now, that widens and broadens my horizon.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
So shall I just
thank you.
You.
Yes, you have a wonderful tree.
I do, I have a tree.
This is wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I am so filled up and so pumped up, and I thank you so much. And I'm going, if what I don't remember and I didn't write it down, I'm going to listen online, and then I'm going to write down all these good ideas. So often it seems like we're all alone doing these things, and you keep trying and trying. And of course, we just have to remember the person who founded our particular religious movement. Jesus started out with 12 of the most coolest men I could ever about. And some very strong women, too, and some other disciples. So we don't have to be big to start. And I'm reminded, of course, of the mustard seed. And in Luke's gospel, of course, we know, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. And because most of us here are Catholics, most of us remember our holy cards. It's a pathetic little attempt, but I made some holy cards. And on this side is the mustard tree, which is what we're all working toward. And on the back, I remember that you'd heard that, well, seen that wonderful DVD, Keeping the Earth. And on the back, and I thought we could close with the Sabbath prayer. I wrote it down, and it's the prayer that you heard from that wonderful rabbi, the prayer that she says with her children every Sabbath. So I'll keep one. And why don't I pass them over this way, and I'll get some to Tom. Oh, and as he's passing it out, again, I'm thinking of Pat and Blessed Jane Goodall. And talk about being a mystic. And I might remind us that today is one of my favorite saints' feast day, that wonderful mystic and activist, St. Teresa of Avila. Mm-hmm. And I think one of her modern-day reincarnations is Edwina Gately. And Edwina just wrote her spiritual memoir. I think it's just come out in God's Womb. And I've been reading it, and I recommend it to you. So when we all have this, does everybody have the tablet there?
Yes, I think we do. Okay.
Are we ready?
Yes. Yeah.